Okay, sorry to make you wait. Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. Our Lord and Savior, He changes everything. He changed everything. I can think of a time of revival in my own life, and though I don't care to go back there, I remember some of the things that happened. I remember speaking words of God from my heart, and answers were just, they were just flowing. That is a special time of anointing. And for your life, I would bless you and love to hear how God works. And you know what? He doesn't work like it's the same way for everyone. You know, I'd like sometimes to have your gift, but I can't. I don't have it. I have what I have. It is God who gives as He wills, and He gets the glory for that. I'll give you a little gathering. Not everybody was here this morning when we started, and Clarence started this morning with a truck in the ditch. So we kind of have our ABCs backwards, but we're going to start at D and go back to A. So the message this morning is A, okay? But we already talked about ditches. Somebody was in the ditch, and I want to get us into the river. Not just the ditch, I want to get you into a river. I want to get you into a river that's eternal and that's endless and gives you life. He said we should be sober, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We should be sober. Did you know you're drunk sometimes? Hopefully, you're drunk sometimes in the right way. You're drunk because the Holy Spirit has come upon you and is working in your life so that you are doing things that you have no idea what you're doing. I know what it looks like to be drunk. But sometimes we get drunk with busyness. Sometimes we get drunk with the cares of changing diapers, right? We get drunk with doing things that young people do. What do young people do these days, right? There's so many things. The Satan, the devil, he is not a lion, by the way. He is like a roaring lion, and he's about seeking if he could destroy us. He's seeking to get us into some undiscerning moment, and if you ever get into that spot, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. D. See, I heard from the Bible study, Ivan, there's something about God and His work in our lives, and you can look throughout history where the constancy of God, I just thought of the constant work of God throughout history. His constant heart, it has never changed. And B, I don't have B, but I hope you do. And maybe I do. But I hope B, the brokenness in your life, the brokenness of your life leads you to the need that we have, and that this morning is abiding. And where we're abiding, that's what we want to talk about. So this morning I thought we'd do it a little bit differently. Maybe I need some help. Does somebody want to help me here? I've been preaching a series through the I Ams of the book of John. Who is this man? In the book of John, I Am, there's seven of them. And I have them on this card. Does somebody want to come help me? Brent, would you come help me? Does anybody memorize them? I attempted to have you do that along the way. So I decided this morning, maybe they should test the teacher, see if he remembers, right? And you know what? I had to think through this again. So, he's got the card, so if I get stuck, he's going to be my helper. He's going to make me look good. And I have my ways, but I'm going to ask you, try one and see if I can get it in the right order. What are the seven? Right there? I am the way. That was last time. Is that right? He says that's right. Okay. What else? I can memorize numbers easier, as you can see. That's not so hard. I could kind of get that one pretty easy, but some of the words 10, the 2 and 10, I had to figure out which one's first. Okay, somebody else. Shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Is that correct? Okay, what else? The door, that was the one I had to check, double check, just to make sure I got them right. The bread, that was the very first one. Are you going to tell them if I'm wrong? Okay, what else? I am the resurrection, right here. The resurrection and the life. Still good? Okay, what else? Which one should we be on this morning if we're at number 7? Who can quote John 15, verse 1? Okay, I'm the vine. Thank you, Henry. I'm the vine. And some say the true vine. We're missing one. Kevin, should you tell me to tell you? You could. Okay. I'm the light. Right? I'm the light. Is that right? I'm the light of the world. Light. Okay. Okay, maybe that'll help us remember. Metaphors, so we remember truths from God's Word. And this morning we see that we're at the very last one, chapter 15. This is a place of prayer. Shall we stand together and pray? Our eternal God and Father in heaven, you are eternally wise, even as you are eternally good, and even as you have eternally made plans, and even as you never fail, you are constant, you are helping us, you are giving us light and truth for life. And we pray that this morning would be no different. Glorify yourself, Father. Pour out words to us that would enable us to serve you more faithfully. Grant us the truth from your word. And glory be to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I am the vine is a river of endless life. That's the title. I am the vine is a river of endless life. John chapter 15. I'd like to read that. John chapter 15. I hope you're not bored, because we're reading from God's Word. And I realized my subject matter this morning is the first verse, but I'll read about 17 of these verses. John chapter 15 says this, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I thank New King James for putting that word in there, the vine dresser. I can see, I had a beautiful picture to put up here this morning of a vineyard. The vineyard was really nice. It had long rows of and beautiful grapes. The fruit was exquisite. It was like you want to be there. You'd want to have your picture taken in that place. But Jesus said, I am the vine. And through vines comes the life that comes from the root. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser. He looks at that vine and he's doing all kinds of things. We're going to see that here in the text. I'm not going to come back to the text a lot because I'm talking about the vine this morning. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Somebody has said that means that he lifts it up. This, Warren Wiersbe said, is not a, for what it's worth, is not a text on sonship. It's a text I lost my thought. But this text is about God working in our lives. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If in my center column, it says that he doesn't just, he takes the branch. Branches, as farmers know, sometimes they scrape on the ground. And as they scrape on the ground, fruit starts to rot sometimes, or there's not enough light there. It takes a lot of light for a plant to actually create sugars so that that plant can actually grow and keep growing and producing and keep producing. He prunes. If it doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So he's looking at the branches. He's seeing how it's going, and I have trees at home. I have a pear tree in particular. I know what happens, and I've decided I'm not very good at it. I don't really care to climb into the tree every year and start snipping off, but it seems every time that I cut off the suckers, it gets even worse. The next time, if you don't keep at that, the tree just gets more harried, and we don't even use the fruit anymore. Shame on me. And it's got beautiful pears, had beautiful big pears on this year, but the fruit wasn't very good. And we're going to talk a bit, you're going to see a little bit why. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Did you hear that? You are clean by the word I've spoken unto you. Earlier, when he was talking at the Last Supper, he was talking to the 12 disciples, and there was one there, and he said that, but not all of you are clean. This time he says, you are clean through the word I've spoken to you. And if you'll look through the scriptures and what he's trying to say, what he's trying to say is, you're clean because my word makes you clean. If you will have faith in my word, if you will take my word for what it says and believe everything that I say, you'll be clean. Some things here this morning about your walk with God aren't as hard as you think. We had some honest discussion this morning about revival in our life and how sometimes unbelief comes in. We're talking a bit about unbelief. For those of you who are teaching other classes, unbelief sometimes comes in our life and it takes, it's that little fox, it's rooting away at the vine. But it's not as difficult as we think, but we need faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That gives me a lot of confidence and courage. And I look at these 12 men, or 11 men actually, now life, and my own life and your life and our lives. Does it you? Like, there's not some special regulation or some special formula that we need, or we have to be some special person. There's not somebody sitting in the pews here this morning. Not one of us sitting here this morning is more special than anyone else. There's not somebody here who God has smiled his favor on because he loves them more than he loves anyone here. His love is upon us. He's caring so much that if you're bearing fruit, there's going to be some things come in your life that you'd prefer they don't happen. There's tons of places in the scriptures you can see. You can read a verse of promise, and you'll see where he does a pruning, and then there's more promises because the promise is there's going to be more fruit. Abide in me. That's the A this morning. If that's all you would go away with, and you would actually get that done, just simply abiding, and you'd understand what abiding is, and I'm not forgetting, a couple weeks ago, somebody preached a message, and at the end of his message, he talked about abiding. I'm going to go over some of that a little bit again, because it must be really important, because he talks about it quite a few times in this passage. Abide in me, and I in you. You abide, I'm talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He says, you abide in me and I in you. Do you think there's trouble with him abiding in us? No, I don't think so. It's the trouble is, are we abiding in him? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, take the simple illustration. I can have a branch in my hand, and does it bear fruit of itself? No, of course not. Unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. We want to have the experiences. We want to have the fruit of joy we know and have experienced in our life when we came to Christ. Or maybe you're not a Christian this morning and God is calling you and is convicting you of your sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. There's judgments to come. And he's saying, if you would abide in me, then I would abide in you and I would give you joy. I'd give you some things that you just see in other people and other places that you just wish that you could have. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I wanted to start off with a thought, and maybe I'll ask it now. Maybe I could ask it. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I know that among us, in our own lives, we've all had a lot of pain. If you think you have pain, I know some pain. I know you know some pain. There's the pain of sexual abuse. There's pain of alcoholism. There's pain of even poverty. There's pain of unplanned, insurmountable. We could list on, and your list said something else, maybe. I expect it did. But all the time, if that all the time is on your radar, if your DNA is seeping, is that's all that seeps out of your DNA, I'm going to tell you this morning, I want to tell you from the beginning that that's an idol, but Jesus wants to give you life. I'm not talking about you need help. There is soul care, and please get me wrong, if you're right now here and you need help from some of these things, seek it out. Do not be hesitant to find somebody and pray through, but if you've been blood washed, blood bought, and that's all that ever comes out of my life, what comes out of my life is what's seeping, living underneath there. But I don't want us to live. I don't want you to live with an idol. It's not even the second best in your life. It's the very worst thing that could ever be in your life or mine, is an idol. And you can't even compare it, and we do, but you can't compare it to the life that's in Christ. And I want to show us this morning a little bit of that. Verse 6, let's keep reading. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Here's a promise. This is a promise. He's not saying it's going to happen for the people in the back row, or the people in the front row, or some people in some row here, because they're really smart, or they're really good at studying the Bible, or they prayed for 2 hours this morning. It's a promise. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's how disciples look. Disciples, followers of Jesus, who he lives in them and they live in him, have lives of fruit bearing. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Okay, did you get that? As the Father has loved me, that's how I've loved you. No, it's not. He did not say that. You can't say, we can't say, I can't say that some people get more love than I do. And because they have been loved and cherished better, their life, I can understand why their life is so good. Because they had this, this, and this, opportunity after opportunity. That's not the love of God. The love of God, he said, Jesus says, is, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Did the Father love Jesus well? Did he love him just so? Or was he just an angry father who bore down with, he said, I got you on the cross. You've done so many things. No, we know his love was perfect to his son. And the son's love is extended to us exactly in the same way. Abide in my love. That's where he wants you to be. He wants you to have that experience of how God the Father loves his son, and the son loved his father, and they had this relationship back and forth. There was nothing. There was nothing. Not even the cross. There was just simply nothing that stood between that relationship and the beauty of that relationship, and you can have that too. That's what he's saying to us this morning. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And he talks about commandments, plural, and he also talks about commandments, singular, according to the English, but if you look at the word in behind, they're the same word. There's one time the word commandment is different, and I'll show you where. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What's his commandment again? What do you think he said, Vernon, just a minute ago? Abide in his love. Wasn't that what he said? I think that's what he said. He said, abide in my love. Abide in me. That's the commandment. We make it so complicated. But he's just saying, I want you to, if you will abide in my love as I abide in the Father's love, this is the commandment he's talking about. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, the relationship of a father like that, a perfect heavenly father and his perfect son. The son was doing everything that the father wanted him to do. He says the father's at work, and so I work. He was watching. He was with the father. They were together, everything, back and forth. The relationship was great. You know, sometimes we with our father, we're like, I don't agree with you, Dad. I would do it this way. But you have no experience to back it up. I had no experience. When I said that, I remember the day my dad told me to go grease something. I was 12 years old, 10 years old. And I remember my foul response to that. But I had no idea because I had nothing to back it off of. I had a heart that wanted its own way. I had a broken heart that wanted its own way. But here the Father and the Son, they're working harmoniously together. Do you think it was a burden for Jesus to do what the Father wanted? Considering that Jesus was living in completeness and fullness of joy and the blessing of the smile of the Father upon his life. Like, we get all excited when our children do what we ask them to do. Or sometime in a given situation, the circumstances aren't very good. Like, I think they were last night somewhere, and somebody does the right thing. And your heart just swells as a father. And you're so blessed. And you feel like, I don't deserve it. The Father and the Son, God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, his Son, that relationship was working very well. It was working in the fullness of the completeness of the perfection that it actually could. And he's calling us to abide in that. Are the commandments then going to be grievous? Definitely not. It's a loving relationship that we just can't wait to find. Young people are looking for someone to live their life with. There's a longing, and God has done these things to put an emptiness in our heart or a place in our heart where we desire companionship and friendship. And I think in brotherhood, the same way. We understand the wonders of love. The writer in Proverbs said there's four things, and the one thing I just can't get over, and I don't understand, he said, that's the way of a man with a maid. relationship. He's talking about he knows how, and he wants to tell you and me how to live this relationship. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. See, he had fullness of joy, and he wanted that fullness of joy to remain. He didn't want us to live lives that are joyful at conversion, go down in the dumps, need a revival, and then come back up somewhere and never quite get back to the first love. He wants us to live and abide in that first love. He wants us to continue and continue and continue. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. You. You are Jesus' friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer, see, we get assurance, right? He gives us assurances along the way as we just do what he says. We start loving each other. You know that how our sometimes our faith is just built in that moment. That person, I had an experience this week, and I have offended enough people in my life to know the value of carefulness, and I'm building a little structure at my place, and I finally said to myself, forget it. I'll stop right there. I am keeping myself clear at all costs. I've had it with bad relationships, things going wrong. And I've done it too many times. I've offended people. I said, no way. And I felt the sweetness of the Lord at that moment. As I worked through it, you know what Jesus is saying to you, the children of God. You know what your Lord and Master, if he is indeed Lord and Master, you know what the Lord and Master is saying. And then he administers what he's going to give, wants to give you all along, that abides and keeps on going. He wants you to be filled with joy, and I had joy. I could give you a number of testimonies in my own life where I didn't have joy, but I had joy. It doesn't matter. Some things just have no value for eternal consequences. I could care less what that project cost, even if it costs extra. I just don't care. No. Verse 15. First of all, 14, do whatever I command you. You hear his voice. That's abiding. You do what he says. 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. There are some servants here. If you want to be a leader here, at Hessen, go serve. Somebody on my way up here went and fixed a toilet. That's leadership. That's how leaders are to serve. Leaders actually serve. Find ways to serve. And just before this, Jesus had sat at a table, and there was no servants around to wash the feet, as was customary. None of the disciples were going to wash their feet. No way. I'm not going to wash anybody's feet because I'm Alvin. I'm not stooping. But Jesus, our Lord and Master, didn't he said, that's the example I leave with you. Continue with that example. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made those things known to you. You did not choose me. Isn't that awesome? You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Did you see that? Another promise? Let me read it again. That whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he may give you. These things that command I commend you that you love one another. I don't know about you, but it causes me to rejoice. I just want to praise. I want to pray. I want to praise him in prayer right now because he is so good. He's given us beyond he chose us. He didn't choose you last. He didn't choose you because you are the smallest, the wimpiest for the ball game or the hockey or the because you weren't beautiful girls. He chose you because his eye was upon you and he loved you. You didn't choose him, he chose you. Vines are perennial plants that last anywhere beyond 2 years. That's what they call a vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. The oldest known vine in a vineyard known in the world today is 400 years old. It's called Zoma Tufka, the Zoma Tufka vine in Maribor, Slovenia. They look quite permanent, don't they? Jesus said, I am the true, I'm the permanent vine. I'm not going anywhere. In those places, I think wars have come and gone, but somehow that vine has stayed. It puts out, vines put out leaves and fruit. The leaves catch the sun, which makes the sugars, which makes them grow, which makes them produce, which makes them bear. There are also little things called shoots that come, and they can even create a new root system, which I think we could understand could be a problem. If a shoot grows out and creates a new root system, it's pulling in a different direction. And a husbandman that I took off a YouTube or something, I was checking to see how vineyards actually work. This man had a very good intuitive tutorial on the husbandry within a vineyard. And he said, a husbandman or the vine dresser adds stress. The very thing that we're trying to get away from, the very thing we're getting therapy for, the very thing we're saying, you got to get rid of some stress. But the vine dresser, and we noticed already from the text that the vine dresser is our Heavenly Father, and he's not making mistakes. Yes, some of the stresses we get are mistakes. But our Heavenly Father, as he's caring for you, a branch, and me, a branch, he's putting stress on the right places because he knows how to get maximum fruit. Not only does he want maximum fruit, but there's something about getting a decent-sized piece of fruit on that same amount of fruit. And then within that is a quality that nothing gives except putting stress on it. In fact, he said that he even fakes stress for the prosperity of the branch and the quality of the fruit. Sometimes the stress that we have maybe is fake stress, but it's accomplishing the very same thing. And these disciples, I would remember the disciples, I'm sure they thought of many things as they lived among vineyards. If we live in Vineland or Niagara, you see a lot more vineyards, and even up in Grand Bend, where there's a bit more heat units, they have vineyards, and these disciples, they understood that. In Jeremiah 2:21, and maybe every place that it's ever mentioned, I didn't check that out. I don't know for sure. But Israel was spoken of as an untrue vine. He said in one place, I made a vineyard and I put a wall around it. I gathered out the stones and all I got was wild grapes. Israel had thousands of years of misinterpretation. Maybe some things in our lives are simple misinterpretations of what Father is doing in our lives. In the scriptures, there's a variety of places where Jesus says, and it's the testimony of our Lord and Savior is that he's greater than these things. And to the Jewish mind, Abraham, Jesus was greater than Abraham. He says, before Abraham was, I am. I am in the past, present in the past. I am present here right now, and I will be present in the future. I am. I'm not was and will be. I am. That's who he was. The Abrahams of our life, there are the forbearing, the grandpa faith that we would like to pass on. We'd like to pass on grandpa faith to our children or receive grandpa's faith or somebody else's faith but our own. And he's saying, no, I am the true vine. This is an untrue vine. This is not the true vine. There was Jacob at the well in Samaria. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Yeah. I'm greater than the father Jacob. I want to show you how great he is yet. But are you greater than our father Jacob? He had some victories and he became Israel. And it's like, oh, those are good victories. I would like to go back to those good old victories, back to the old time religion. The past victories, the well diggers. He dug wells and the lady was drinking of Jacob's well. That had to be good for us, don't you think? That has to count for something spiritually. But we have some wells that we're trying to dig from in the past. And he says, I want you to connect to something bigger than that. Moses. Jesus is greater than the any law that we've ever made. I made laws that as a young believer, I would make myself these little laws that I would break almost instantly. Laws of our own futile making for righteousness. Or David. David was some great person in the Israel's mind. They thought of David. They were expecting David. They didn't know how this was all going to look, how the kingdom was going to look, but they were expecting some kind of a Davidic kingdom to be resurrected again. Their heart was after the dreams and the past glory. And he said, no, lay those down at the proper feet. Lay them down at my feet. Are we okay if it comes from an angle we didn't see or maybe even plan for, or especially if we didn't prefer it? He was greater than Solomon. Solomon was great in wisdom, had the greatest wisdom, and he used his wisdom and he just cried emptiness. At the end of it all, it was like, it's vanity, it's air, it's a bit of smoke, I did all these things and experienced all these things for what? To give to somebody who's going to be a jerk and throw them away and couldn't care less? Our ability is fleeting. The comparisons are so small. There was Jonah. He said, greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was probably the greatest revival preacher of the old covenant, and he didn't compare. Historic revival is a drop in the river. Greater than John the Baptist. And then one big thing for them was they would walk by the temple and see this beautiful temple, and they would see, and they might even have remembered, I don't know, maybe they were scholarly enough to remember the picture of the temple in the book of Ezekiel. That temple wasn't going to look like Herod's temple. It was going to be much bigger than that temple. And Herod's temple of their day was something phenomenal. It was beautiful. They loved the temple. You know, we have temples, right? And sometimes we place a lot of emphasis on our temples, our externals, our appearance, or our this, our that. We take a lot of pride and we put a lot of energy. That seems so important. But there is one greater. Greater than the Sabbath, greater than the church, greater than angels. He is superior, there is no other name. And one day at his very name. You know, many men would, if there's an AK-47 up here, many men would bow their knee in front of an AK-47. But at the very name of Jesus, one day, every knee will bow. In 1889, in Pennsylvania, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, there was a big dam. And over the course of time, that dam had been, it was there for something else. And then some wealthy businessmen took it and they decided they're going to make themselves a golf club or something around that big dam. With time, engineers would go by and say, you know, that dam doesn't look very well. I think we should consider it. We got to do something about it. And they would stuff logs in to hold the thing back. But on that day, an engineer saw it, and he ran down to the town. He said, get out of here. And the dam sprung. It burst its seams, and 20 million tons of debris and rubbish and rocks and ground and soil rushed down and destroyed 2,600 lives, approximately. I marvel at the power of 20 million cubic tons of material, and you'd be in awe of it, and you'd respect it, wouldn't you? You'd get out of the way if you could. Here's another one for greatness, our sun. This morning, we can't see our sun. We know the sun is there, or it would be dark. And we know that if the sun weren't there, we would be frozen stiff instantly. Let me tell you a bit about how great the sun is. There's 1 million, they say even more than, 1 million Earths would fit inside the sun, that ball in the sky that's 93 million miles away. Of which the core of the sun is, they say, is 15 million degrees. Did I have that right? Million? Million. I think it's million. I wrote it down somewhere, but it's here. That's what I have. And then the surface of the sun is 5,500. It takes 8 minutes for that warmth of the sun and all that happens to reach the earth. At 93 million miles, it reaches the earth in 8 minutes. I'll tell you how powerful it is. 600 million tons of hydrogen are converted to helium per second. 600 million tons of hydrogen are converted. That's a lot of stuff. Or we could translate it into oil. Whether you want to call it a barrel, that'd be pretty big, or a ton. I'm going to use tons. Or 13 million tons of oil. So every second, the sun is producing 13 million tons of oil. 1 second of the sun would power the world for, get this, 688,000 years. In 1 second, that's the energy of the sun. Let's give it a little perspective. If you had a block of ice, someone said, not me, that was a mile one way, 2 miles the other, and 93 million miles. So that gets us right to the sun. 1 second of that sun would melt everything. 1 second. Be a big raindrop. I think there'd be something else happening in the universe. We'd be crispy critters. The earth receives 0.007045% of the sun's total output. Just 0.00000045% of the sun's output. And and it's 7,500 times more than we consume. So if you're in the solar business, you're in a good business. There's lots of solar rays to catch. It is 10 trillion, trillion, billion megatons. And a megaton is... Does anybody know what a megaton is? I had to check. 1 million tons. So a trillion is how many zeros? 12 zeros, is it? That's a million. That's a billion. 12, I think it's 12. I did look, but I didn't write it down here. A trillion is 12. So a trillion, trillion, billion megatons or 1,000 metric tons. That's just the sun. And they say the sun, there's suns out there that are 150 times bigger than our sun that we see. And I could go on to talk about what the wisdom of man would say to some of the gamma rays that are happening. But that's just beyond my understanding. And for the comparison here, it doesn't matter. The wisdom of man knows it as a small star. But you know what? That's big. That's uncomprehendably big. But you know what? Jesus made it. Jesus Christ, the one who says, "Abide in me and I in you. Abide in my love as I abide in the Father's love." He made all that. Those things, if there was nothing between us, if God in his wisdom hadn't designed things in such a way, we'd be crispy craters. It has taken thousands of years for men to figure out ways to get things to the sun and measure the heat of the sun. And it's a small sun, one of the smaller suns. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he made this. This is the vine. This is the life of the vine I'm talking about. The true vine is the designer, the maker, and the sustainer with plans to wrap it up on his own timetable and restitute all things one day. Wow. He can actually do that too. He's going to restore everything. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where indwells no sin. He's going to wipe away tears. Incredible. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we think our troubles are so big, and we say to ourselves, "God, where are you?" We say to ourselves things of unbelief, and that's who he is. That's how great our Lord and Savior is, the creator of the universe. Is he able to come into our space if we will, he says, if you will abide in me? Not only are you going to have help for your trouble, but that's where joy is. We are looking for satisfaction, aren't we? Whether you're converted or not, we're looking for fulfillment in life. We're looking for prosperity. We're looking for something that satisfies. He said, "I'll give you the joy that I have with the Father." Those are promises. Can he break a promise, do you think? He can't break his promises. You don't have to believe it, but his promises are still working in the lives of those that you wish you had what they had. And I... There's a picture in the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to read it. Listen to this picture. There's water flowing from the temple. "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the door, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the side of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side." A little confusing, but it's actually not so bad if you just sit down, put on a piece of paper, you put north, north, and south, south, west, west, and east, It was coming out of the east. He was coming out of the back. The altar was obviously somewhere closer to the north because it was on the south side of the altar. And it was going underneath the threshold and going out to the east. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankle. Leonard Ravenhill said, some people live such shallow lives, there's not even enough water to drown them. That convicts us, right? Sometimes I'm so living such a shallow life, and then I wonder why I get rebuke. Because our Heavenly Father, the vine dresser, he's coming in, he says, that's a sucker, I've got to cut it off. And he cuts off the sucker because my brother cared enough or my sister cared enough to come beside me and say, you're wrong. You're going the wrong way. It's sapping life out of you. You're shallow and you need to think differently. Oh, thank God for the time people have come and said, think differently, think rightly. Here's how you ought to think. We pray for compassion. We pray for unity. And may the Spirit of the living God give us those things because he wants to give us those things. He wants that our joy to be full. He knows how to do it. So he walked into the water. The first 1,000 cubits was up to his ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. We're talking about life, right? We're talking about life in the vine, the true vine. I am the vine. Are you content to live in ankle-deep water? Is that as much life as you need? He said, now it came up to his knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Is that enough life for you and me? Is that all we want? Just enough to get ourselves wet? Know a little bit of joy or quite a bit of joy? Is that enough? Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross. The water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Take notice, look, see what's happening here. Do you get it? Jesus rebuked the people of his day and he said, you hear things over and over and because of it, maybe you work in a shop. My dad worked in a shop all his life and I don't think did very good in his younger years of using hearing protection. And he can't hear very good today, but because you hear it over and over, you read the scriptures and you hear those old, the Torah and the prophets, you hear them over and over again, and you don't even hear what's being said. You get it. He's saying, take notice, see what's happening here. He brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Trees now. We're talking trees. We're talking branches, right? We're talking a vine. And these vines aren't just like the vine we see in the vineyard where the grapes are. He's talking about trees. There's trees lining this river. When I returned there were the trees. Then he said to me, this water flows through the eastern region, going down into the valley, and enters the sea. Well, that doesn't mean a lot until you see what region it's actually going into. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the water goes, will live. We're talking about life. We're talking about life in Christ. We're talking about healing life in Christ. The things that have happened in your life, that abuses, the things that have destroyed your person, the things that are scarring your soul. He can heal those things and give you life and put fruit into your life and give you joy unspeakable and that's full of glory. Not just a testimony. He's not just wanting your testimony. We're talking about glorifying his Father. He will see the reflection of the Father's character and his will and desire in our lives by what he does to the people that have been going down into a valley of dryness, a valley of deadness. There's places like Chernobyl where things are starting to grow back again, but would you want to live there where the contaminants and radiation are? But he said, I'll come heal you. Where anything that gets into this river can be healed. Let's not let our unbelief stop us at a place where we think that, yes, it's good for some. And if I, maybe someday, will you have like your faith in Christ? He says the key to your walk with God is your connection by faith. And if you will believe him by faith, he will heal you. He's talking about complete healing. He wants our lives. His whole desire and his whole heart is that our relationship is perfect and fruitful and vibrant and joyful and worth living. You don't need to take drugs that then cause people to commit suicide because of depression and despair. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the waters go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So that mustn't just mean, it mustn't mean that's what's happening in Israel right now, because wherever the water's going, there isn't healing everything, I don't think. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it, from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. And they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. That's the key. He looked and he saw this river just teeming with life. All kinds of fish. The fishermen got it. The Peters, they would have said, ah, what a place to be. That's where I'm spreading my nets. So along the bank, people spreading their nets everywhere. There was enough for all. There was extra. There was excess. There was every kind, every flavor, anything. Anything that we need. Yes, I know your experience is peculiar and particular to yourself, but he has it covered. He's got you covered because he planned this, and he's got the sun in his control. He's got the galaxies in his control. He even breathed them out to begin with. He's got it under control. Will you believe it? Do you believe? Will you believe? Will you place your faith in Jesus Christ? But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and on that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, because it flows from Jesus Christ. We live in a place where not everything is healed. There are people, myriads of people, who will not listen to the gospel, who would not step their foot into a door of a house that would preach the gospel. Sometimes we're even fearful to say the truth. Heal us of that, Lord. Heal us of our addictions. Heal us of anything that destroys your fruitful glory that you deserve because of your goodness. Their leaves will not wither. Psalm 1. There's other places. Their leaves will not wither. But do you know of a plant? Is there a horticulturalist here this morning who could tell me of one plant that is ever bearing every month, every day of every month? And there is one plant. Not the plant that we think of the plant. I don't think there is. If you know of a plant, tell me. I don't think there is any plant except the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the vine dresser. Ah, that's the plant. That's the plant to be planted of. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. How do we tap into that? How do we tap into that? How do we abide? Have you been abiding? Have you been constantly abiding? Abide in me. How do we? That's how we do it. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. You abide in him. He's not asking us to dance or around anything. He's saying, here's the key to that river of life that will flow in your life, can have fruit every year, all the time, and just abide in me. Draw near to me. We draw near by faith. Faith destroys unbelief, right? As we rise up, and sometimes it's the smallest thing that gets us down, but by faith, we just rise up and believe it. And we start abiding. We keep abiding. Start abiding. We start abiding when we find Jesus Christ. But sometimes we feel like we're not. We feel like we're running dry. We're feeling like we're running out of gas and steam. We're running out of power in our life. He says, just abide in me. That's it. Trust me. Just abide in me. Can you trust him? Can you trust him who made the galaxies? Who placed things just at the right distance so that your corn would grow this summer? And that this winter the snow would fall, Isaiah 55, the snow is going to fall, it's going to cover the ground, and it's going to percolate this spring, and it's going to water the earth. We live in a wonderful place in the world. Out west they've been desiring and needing more snow, but we need the snow to water the earth because he says, if you're going to abide in me, how about this one? So shall my word be that shall not return to me void. How about that? I know sometimes we do too many things at night. Sometimes we do too many things, and we don't do the right amount of things in their proper place. Sometimes I have found in my own life just by letting the word seep, percolate. It's like the snow coming down. You memorize a few verses, Romans 11:33 in there. Memorize those verses and it percolates to your soul and you say, ah, my Lord and my God, that's who you are. You're in debt to no man. You are God and I'm your child. You let that do its work and all of a sudden up springs faith. Up springs another root over here. The change in diapers isn't quite the drudgery as it was because you know you're changing a diaper of a child that one day can serve God, who can be a little arrow that you're going to release out into the world. It's going to slay some dragon somewhere, some demon somewhere. Have faith enough. That little child can have faith enough, even as a child will have faith enough to slay a Goliath at 17 years old. There's somebody here probably 17. To slay a giant. Some men die with the giant ramming the sword through them. Through his word, abiding, letting his wonderful word, you are clean. You are clean through the word as you read his word. Some days, I used to love driving home from work. I don't have far to go anymore, but I love driving home from work and turning. And back in the day, I had CDs or DVDs, and I would stick the Bible in. It just would wash my soul. Wash my soul. You are clean through the Word. You can take His Word. We read promises here this morning. Promises that He's going to keep. But you have to know them. You have to believe them, and if you don't know them, you don't believe them, right? That's why it's so important we send a preacher so that they can hear, because faith comes by hearing, and who will go unless they're sent? And who will hear unless somebody tells them and sends them a preacher? You know, that's the good news. That's the awesome news about spreading the gospel. We're not taking our own message, are we? We're taking the message of the gospel. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, I would want to teach you nothing except Christ and him crucified, the crucified Lamb of God. And he says, then he says in his word, as we're abiding, he's saying, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We're talking about a branch flow just welded and have grown so tight into the vine that this life, the life of Jesus, is flowing out. And we say, how can that little branch actually bear the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet he does. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the life which I now live in the flesh. See, there's where we get it. That little branch is like our flesh. And that's the thing that gets us, gives us trouble sometimes. And we misunderstand it. And we give it authority in our life. And it has none. But Christ, my faith in Christ, it's not my, we can live our lives in the flesh, or we can live our lives by faith in Christ, and Christ is living his life through the vine into your life and mine, and then bearing out this beautiful fruit. Last night, somebody was at my place sitting around my table, and we were discussing honest issues, and it was just blessing me. The life of Christ, the fruit from their life poured into my own. His word. Oh, that you love his word. You'd receive his word. You'd believe his word. I can tell you anything, and if his word contradicts me, his word trumps everything. You are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. That's powerful. That's awesome. Abiding. Faith in the word, his promises to believe. Lay aside the idols for the real deal. Hudson Taylor, as I wrap this up, Hudson Taylor said this: meditating on his person and work requires the diligent use of the means of grace, and especially the prayerful reading of his word. Many fail to abide because they habitually fast instead of feeding. Let me read part of that again. Many fail to abide because they habitually fast. There are some things to fast about. I hear people fasting on media. Go for that one. I hear people fasting on the news. Do that. I hear people fasting on food. That's good too. It'll cleanse your body. You can do that with a good drink of water too. Every morning, drink lots of water and it'll start cleansing your system. We're talking about the washing of the water of the word. We're talking about the true vine who's bringing real water and healing water and true life to our lives. Prayer, abiding by prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. We get in the flesh and we say, I decided to believe that and it didn't happen, but you're in the flesh, that's the problem. The life in Christ is what he's all about. He's putting life into you so that you would have faith in him and allow him to do anything he pleases at any time in any way. And then the light of the people that you love to see, the people of God that have made deep impressions into our lives, it is the life of Christ that we saw. We weren't seeing the mountain. We weren't seeing physical mountain outside this window. It was here last week and somebody prayed and it was moved over out what to the western provinces. That's not what happened. He's talking about something that's real and lasting and that's eternal. The things that are seen are not eternal, but the things that are not seen, these things are going to abide. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to abide. The joy is going to abide. The fulfillment's going to abide. The love's going to abide. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That's it. Elijah, the man who prayed for 3 years and said, hey, God, stop the rain. Do you know why God stopped the rain? Because said, I want the rain to stop. Elijah, I want you to pray that the rain stops. Sometimes we need to hear from God. We know if you ever take, here's an exercise you ought to do. Is take the word, take God's word with you in prayer sometimes. and pray along with Father's heart. You'll see what he's saying. Pray John 15. Speak it back to Father and listen closely to what he's saying as you change the wording so that actually you can actually have a conversation with God or Heavenly Father and see what he does. Abiding in prayer. We get to understand his heart. We understand what he desires. And we start praying that he would fulfill those desires. I think there's people here praying for unity in the body. There's people here praying for revival fires to light some soul. Abiding. We're talking abiding this morning. Abiding in the true vine. The powerful vine who can give us life. Abide in him, the true vine, has an ample supply of grace. There's a song, I wish we could have sung it. I'd like to close with that. But I'll read part of I think it's the chorus. There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with his great love. Come to this fountain, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Jesus is the eternal source, the eternal powerful. I said full. We're not talking about the cup that you take and you fill it up with water. So Wednesday night we took a glass and we filled it up with water and we poured it so that the liquid was actually higher than the rim. It stayed within the cup. In there you could still put more things in. But I'm talking about a power that is completely filled with every attribute needed for power to be at its perfect element. You can place within that glass of water, or take a room. In this room, you come in here, was it full or empty? If it was empty, you suck it in a vacuum, the building probably would have collapsed. But you came in, it was full with air, oxygen. But then people came in and we filled it with people. Beyond that, other people come in, maybe a lady with perfume walks in. Men wear it too, by the way. And walk in and you smell, it fills the place, filling again with many different things. But we're talking about the all-powerful one who fills heaven and earth and they can't contain him. Jesus, the eternal source, come, drink, and live. Let's pray. Should we bow our heads? Father, this morning I just want to give you glory for your word, for the goodness that we see about yourself and what you are doing with us, your children. You're doing these things. Our faith is rising, Father. We believe it because we know that it's true. We've experienced it. And Father, for those who haven't, I pray that they'd be so dry. Going down to the east there was a desert and it was dry. There was no life. But all of a sudden there was life because Jesus is there. We recommend them to you, Lord Jesus. Father, in a powerful way, convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And may the fruit be unto eternal life and to the glory of our God. Heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.